Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County, with your host, Don Camber.
Hello, live from the OC Talk Radio studios at UCI's Beal Applied Innovation Center. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Don Camber with another great guest impacting our community in a positive way. Today, I welcome Orange County Transportation Authority Chief Executive Officer Daryl Johnson. He leads an agency that's responsible for delivering projects, programs, and services that improve mobility for the more than 3 million Orange County residents. Thank you, Daryl, for being on Impact OC.
Thanks, Don. Super happy to be here.
Daryl, please explain the Measure M voter-approved half-cent sales tax for transportation improvements.
Great place to start. So in 1991 and again in 2011, voters in Orange County saw the need and the benefit of investing in the transportation system here in their home. So that's the street system, the freeway system, the bus system. So we have a half-cent sales tax. 70% of the voters passed that in 2006. And a half cent of your sales tax on each and every sale goes back into the transportation system. And we put 43% of that into the freeway system, 25% into the transit system, and 32% into streets and roads and pothole repair. Active transportation, it's a great investment for the residents of Orange County.
Explain some of the freeway projects that are underway. The update on the I-405, I-5 South.
Well, clearly there's a lot of work going on in Orange County, and we're proud of that. We also, let me say in advance, thanks to all of the residents for their patience as they drive around the county, and we're making those improvements. So a couple of big ones. Let me start in South Orange County. So we've got just under 6 miles of improvements underway, extending a carpool lane between Alicia and the El Toro Y, improvements at the interchanges at Avery and La Paz and El Toro. And it's about 6 miles, as I said. It's about just a little under $600 million. It's about halfway done. We know it's a lot of work going on, but we really think it's going to help with that South County commute and really the weekend traffic that we see. And the other thing it really does, Don, is it helps that those local streets in Laguna Hills and Mission Viejo and Laguna Niguel really, you know, sort of work better with the freeway, if you will.
And you have the groundbreaking of the State Route 55 between the I-405 and the I-5.
Yes, we just did that just a few weeks ago, officially broke ground. It's a 4 mile stretch of the 55 between the 405 and the 5, one of the busiest sections of freeway or most congested sections of freeway in the county. We're really excited about it, a great partnership with the state of California. We'll be adding a second carpool lane in each direction, really improving the operation of the freeway, the way those ons and off ramps work. The safety, wider shoulders, better on and off ramps, better merging lanes. It's about a 4-year construction period. We're going to keep the lanes open all the time during construction, maybe a few overnight closures, but everything during the day will be open. But really excited to break ground on that project.
And since we're talking about projects, let's talk about driving while the projects are underway. What do you want motorists to know when they're driving on a freeway and they're seeing some changes occur?
You know, it's a great question. And if I could ask motorists to do one thing, is just really slow down, pay attention to those changes. The lanes are going to be a little bit more narrow. There's going to be signs. There's people working. Those could be your friends. It could be your family, your siblings, your neighbors. And each and every day, one of those workers are out there. They're taking their life in their hands. And, you know, you're going to get where you're going. May take a little bit longer. Let's be safe. Let's pay attention to the speed limit. Let's pay attention to those signs. And let's make sure that we're, you know, given enough space to have emergency braking and lane changing, because things are changing in a construction zone each and every day as we're trying to improve those lanes for people.
And we want to point out that decisions for these projects was a group decision.
Absolutely. When the Measure M2 was passed in 2006, one of the things that we thought was really important to put in front of the voters was, it's one thing to say, hey, voters, give us a half cent of your sales tax and we'll make some improvements. It's a completely different thing to put a list of projects, and we put a list of 30 projects and said, if you pass this, this is what we're going to do. Made a promise, and now we're keeping those promises. So we did a lot of work in advance of asking the community what they thought was important. Was the 55 important? Was the 5 important? Was the 91 important? Was the 22 important? 405? And that list of projects was put in front of the voters. It was in the voter pamphlet. And that's what we're working on today. There's 30 of them. 14 are done. Another 6 are under construction. And our goal as we sit here today in 2022 is to have all 30 of them mostly done by 2030. The tax actually goes out to 2041. So our goal is to be done about 10 years ahead of the 30-year tax.
Do you anticipate that tax being extended again?
You know, I think it'll be up to the voters. And by that, I mean, can we prove that we've made a good investment? I think Orange County and OCTA collectively have been really good stewards of our infrastructure system here in the county over the last 30 years. Think about what the I-5 used to look like. Think about what the 405 used to look like. And I think if we prove that we're responsible with those tax dollars, that we're keeping our promises, and the things that we're investing in have value to the public, I think that's when you ask the voters if they would like to continue going further. And one of the things I like to talk about is our pavement quality in Orange County. Think about our streets and roads. All you listeners, think about your city and your town. Maybe think of some other places you've been in the state. It's a fact that Orange County has the best pavement condition of any county in California. That didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen overnight. And it takes long-term investment, long-term thinking, long-term planning, partnership with all 34 cities, plus the county government. And we think that we should continue to plan for those types of things long-term into the future.
And you also plan for bike and pedestrian paths.
We do. We have historically made, you know, good investment in pedestrian paths and bicycle lanes and things of that nature. But in the last 8 to 10 years, it's really risen to top of mind among residents, all walks of life. People are thinking about, how can I do something a little bit different? How active transportation, we call it, is becoming more and more important. So we're integrating better and more of those bike and ped projects as standalone projects or into other projects. We're more trying to be more thoughtful if we're working on a particular roadway or a freeway on-ramp or off-ramp, is what's that pedestrian and bicycle interface? How does that work? There's some great pilots going on. I would point to maybe the city of Santa Ana and San Clemente looking at dedicated bike lanes or protected bike lanes, different paint markings on the streets to show the value of where the bicycle should be. And we think there's a lot of opportunity for those short trips on bicycles. And when you think about electric bikes, that introduces even another component. People can maybe go a little further than they might have, or maybe they couldn't do that hill, or they have a little bit different sort of, you know, idea to get out there. So we want to embrace that, and this idea that people are trying to move around and do things in their daily life, and they should have choices, and those choices are really important.
Rail projects.
We have a couple of projects going on. The biggest one is OC Streetcar. It's in the city of Santa Ana, with connecting into Garden Grove. We're a little more than half done, about 60% done through construction. Should be open to the riding public in the spring of 2024. It's a lot of work. It's a big project. It's complex. We're building through parts of Santa Ana that are some of the oldest parts in the county. But with those challenges of building any project, what's important, I think, is what it's going to become, and this idea that it's going to sort of introduce a new option for people in the center of our county. It connects to 18 of our existing bus routes, some of the busiest bus routes in the OC bus system. Connects to Harbor Boulevard on the west, and it connects to the heavy rail corridor on the eastern side, where you have Metrolink trains and Amtrak trains at the Santa Ana Regional Transportation Center. So think about having to do, maybe you got called for jury duty and you live in Laguna Niguel. In the future, you'll be able to get on the Amtrak or the Metrolink train in Laguna Niguel, ride to Santa Ana, walk across the platform to the streetcar, and it'll take you right to the courthouse. No worry about traffic, no worry about parking, and it'll be low cost, and it'll be frequent, and it'll be safe.
Talk about Metrolink. How does it operate?
You know, Metrolink is the Southern California regional rail system, and it's a membership of 5 counties, so Orange, Los Angeles, Riverside, San Bernardino, and Ventura. And it's traditionally has focused in on sort of serving the downtown workers of Los Angeles, very much a commuter rail system. Here in Orange County, we've tried to expand that to weekends and nights and evenings. The world's changed a little bit in a, I hate to say post-COVID environment, because I'm not sure if we're after COVID yet, but the idea that remote work is here to stay probably, and people are thinking a little bit different about how they go into the office and how they do their job. We see Metrolink as a big part of that future as it relates to going different places at different times. Measure M, back to Measure M, helps fund the capital, meaning track and stations and parking structures, and we help fund the operations of that as well. So we think it's taken a bit of a strange turn on ridership during the pandemic, but we see a bright future for Metrolink.
Bus efforts, connections.
So we are the owner operator of the OC bus system. It's one of the larger bus systems in the state of California. We have about 60 routes, 500 buses, and looking at what we had pre-pandemic in terms of ridership and bus routes and where buses went and times of day they went, we know that things changed. The question for us really is it a temporary change or is it a permanent change, more structural? We're not 100% sure. So what we are out doing is a study, a very deep study. We call it Making Better Connections, is really trying to figure out how do we have a bus system in Orange County that serves what we need going forward as opposed to what's behind us. We've restored about 70% of our bus service from the pandemic. We're about 80% of our ridership levels, which from an industry standpoint is quite good. But we're thinking about what's next. How do we serve community colleges? How do we serve healthcare? How do we serve job and employment centers? And how do we give people a choice? We know some people are riding the bus system that are transit dependent. They have no other choice. But how do we also make the bus a choice for people that don't want to be in their car or want to do something a little bit different? So we plan on finalizing some of that, some of those details in the fall of this year and rolling out some of those improvements as soon as February of 2023.
And you have some programs, Youth Ride Free and College Pass.
You know, they're two great programs, and maybe I could talk about the College Pass program first. Here in Orange County, 3.2 million people, we have 9 community colleges, and we set out in 2017 to try to enter into a partnership with the community colleges. We started with Santa Ana College, and we basically said, we want to have the opportunity where we can tie education and transportation together. Let's not make transportation a barrier to higher education. And the idea is, with some seed dollars that we had available to us through state transportation funding, we sort of put a down payment with this Santa Ana Community College and said, if we can do this, then every student that goes to Santa Ana College can ride the OC bus system for free anywhere in the system, not just to and from classes, but to their job, to their friend's house, for recreation. As of about a week and a half ago, we have all 9 community colleges on board. So if you're a community college student anywhere in Orange County, any of the 9 campuses and locations, your student pass, your student ID will allow you to ride the OC bus system. We've now had over 3.5 million people rides take advantage of that. And that started getting us thinking, if we can do that with the community college system, what can we do with K through 12 education? So we set out last summer and came up with a pilot program to allow youth ride free. So if you're 18 and under and you're riding the bus, you can go through your school district and you can get a student pass. We've engaged every school district in Orange County. Wildly successful, very good ridership on that. A lot of great stories about people talking about how it helped their family, how it helped them get to their places of destination. And earlier this calendar year in 2022, our board of directors voted to make that permanent. So we're the first large transit agency anywhere in the nation to have a permanent youth ride free program. And again, we see that as tying this to education. Transportation shouldn't be a barrier to education. And it's how do we make that tool available to the youth of Orange County?
Where's the funding for that?
The funding is in really two areas. We have state funding that comes to us through the state cap and trade program. And the idea there is you can invest some of that into routes that qualify, that need to have cleaner routes. We currently have a bill pending in the legislature sponsored by State Senator Josh Newman that would allow us to take that sort of temporary funding source and apply flexibility to it so we can use that forever in the future for this service or for this purpose. The thing I think is important about that, Don, is it's not new money, it's not a new tax, it's not anything different. It's just money we already have available to us. And here in Orange County, we think we can use it better in a different manner. And we hope the legislature and ultimately the governor agrees with that.
Now, talk about traffic patterns, because before we came to air, you were saying that people are driving at different times and the traffic isn't what it used to be.
We today have a very strange sort of set of activities going on in our road system and our freeway system. By that, I mean, if we look at what the traffic volumes were before COVID really took hold in March and April of 2020, we knew the total number of people riding on, traveling on freeways and local streets and roads. And then it dropped off significantly. Well, today, those volumes are now significantly higher than prior to the pandemic. So more trips are being made on our freeway system. More trips are being made on our streets and road system. But what's different is those trips are being made in a different manner. So the traditional 8 a.m. rush hour, 5 p.m. rush hour is maybe shifted a little bit more to the midday. I'll use the 91 freeway as an example. We own and operate the 91 express lanes. For many, many years, Thursdays and Fridays were the busiest days. I think that would be obvious to most people. Today, it's Thursdays and Saturdays. The weekends have changed. Saturday is now one of the busiest days on the 91 corridor. That was not sort of fathomable 36 months ago. And we're seeing that pattern play out around other freeways within within the county. And in fact, we didn't talk about the 405 improvement project, but we fully expect that when that project opens at the end of 2023, that we will be dealing with those types of volumes as well, where Saturday is going to be one of the busiest days on that highway system.
So when you're dealing with traffic and projects, do you have to look ahead to, that'll be fine for now, but do you look ahead to what the traffic patterns could be like in 10 years and plan for the next set of projects?
You know, it's probably hard to believe, but we spend a lot of time thinking about 2045 and a lot of time thinking about 2050. And in fact, we're currently underway with a long, what we call a long-range transportation plan, which is really trying to look at what do we think, working with our partners in academia, at the city level, and at the county level, about how many people are going to live here in Orange County in 2045, how many jobs are going to be here, what does the housing stock look like, and then what is the transportation system that's needed to support that. So we're currently looking at how do we manage that demand going forward. Some of it is going to be very traditional projects, an improvement of an intersection or an interchange here, a new roadway capacity project here, but a lot more thinking about how do we use what we have better? Can we make the current freeway system work better? Can we make use of technology better on the local streets and road system? Can we make the signal system talk to each other better? There's a future of connected vehicles where your car in the future is going to know that it's coming up to a red light or know that it's coming up to a green light. We're thinking about those things all the time. What does the bus system look like? How do we look at the future of, like I mentioned earlier, e-bikes, transit, autonomous vehicles, connected vehicles? All of those things are in play. We don't know what the role of technology is going to be absolutely, but we know it's going to help us and change our future as well.
Please explain the website and what people will see on the website. There's a lot of information to get from your website.
There is a lot of information on the website. The main website is OCTA.net. And within that website, you can determine if you want to ride a bus, if you want to know about our projects, if you want to know about our environmental programs, if you want to know about active transportation. It's clear there. You can also look at, you know, we have board meetings and committee meetings. If you're really interested in the specifics of projects and programs, all of that information is there as well. But I think what's most important is go to OCTA.net. And look at what you're interested in and provide us feedback and tell us what you want to hear and is it a good tool for you. But we're trying to put as much information as we can there. Every project that we're working on has a web page for it, and every project has a person with a picture and a real phone number and a real email address if you have questions.
What's the ultimate goal of OCTA?
I think of the ultimate goal of OCTA is really quality of life. A lot of people would say, but you know, shouldn't you be thinking about bridges and pavement and concrete and buses and trains? And I guess from a technical standpoint, sure, but really transportation provides mobility. And if we have mobility, our quality of life is better. And we can do that mobility in a way that keeps our air clean, keeps our water clean, and keeps sort of a focus on that quality of life. So I think that's the mission, is really understanding the unique needs of Orange County and making sure that we're providing mobility choices for all users of the system along all walks of life well into the future.
Do you believe you're meeting that goal right now?
I think we are. I think we have work to do in certain areas. We've clearly invested in the traditional highway system and streets and road system in the past, and we're moving on to investing in the rail transit system. We're moving on to investing more into the bus transit system, and we're moving more into investing in the active transportation space. I don't know what's next. Maybe it's flying cars, maybe it's connected vehicles, maybe it's autonomous driving, self-driving cars, but we want to be available and make sure that we're involved in that decision-making with our partners at the city level and at the community level to make sure that we're we're doing what Orange County does well, which is it's a great quality life place to live, and we want to make sure that it stays that way for a long time in the future.
So if people need to reach out to you in general to express their ideas, which you could take, how can they do that?
If it's in general, there's information on the website. There's a customer relations department, of course, and all those types of things. But if someone has specific comments or thoughts on the streets and roads system, the freeway system, I would encourage them to go to the project level websites like the 405, like the I-5 South, like the SR-55 or the Metrolink site, and be specific about what's on there.
Thank you, Orange County Transportation Authority Chief Executive Officer Daryl Johnson, for being on Impact OC. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.